You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week was the last week that the public could submit their say on the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill, which proposes to ban conversion therapy practices seeking to change or suppress a person's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. In fact, today is the final day to make a submission on the Parliament website. Te Hapori Whai Takawatanga, or Aotearoa, and the Autistic Collaboration Trust support this bill, but believe it should go further to protect all New Zealanders subject to conversion therapy practices, not just those relating to sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. Although, of course, these protections are very much welcome. Zazi spoke to trustee and spokesperson for the Autistic Collaboration Trust, Jorn Betten, about why the autistic community is seeking the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill to include a ban on all conversion therapy, including those practices that are inflicted on the autistic community.
Recently, you made a submission to the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill. What was the main thrust of your submission?
Autistic Collaboration Trust and the autistic community, we fully support the bill, but we believe it should go further to protect all New Zealanders who are subjected to conversion therapies, and not just those relating to sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. Specifically, autistic conversion therapies cause severe harm, and so we still have these types of therapies being practiced in New Zealand and even being recommended. And what that involves is these therapies are forcing children to stop choosing behaviors, and that's harmful and unhelpful. These autistic conversion therapies are usually referred to as or known as applied behavior analysis. And sometimes they're called positive behavior support. But what they really do is there's nothing positive about them. They attempt to extinguish soothing behaviors and other behaviors simply to make neurotypical people feel more comfortable around autistic people. So unsurprisingly, autistic conversion therapies like ABA contribute to depression, suicidal ideation, and they lead to PTSD in many cases in those people that are exposed to such compliance-based therapies. So as long as the practice of ABA is not banned, it really signals to autistic people that we are somehow not quite okay, somehow not quite human. In practice, autistic children are often denied basic human rights.
Including myself, before getting in touch with you and learning more about the subject, you know, many people won't know that conversion therapy began with and is still inflicted on autistic people. Can you tell me a bit about the history of conversion therapy and ABA, as you just stated before?
Yes, this is a topic that's not widely, I think, known beyond the autistic community. So all kinds of conversion therapies, including what's loosely called gay conversion therapy, they have the same origin. So Ivor Lovaas in the 1960s and 1970s in California, he is the originator of both gay conversion therapy and autistic conversion therapy. And the techniques that he and his colleagues developed are today known as applied behavior analysis, these techniques that I just mentioned. And in fact, the research and work of Ivor Lovaas and his colleagues, they started off working with autistic children, and only then, several years later, did it occur to them, because they could get funding for this type of research, that, oh, well, we can also try and apply this to gay children and the like. So it actually predates gay conversion therapy, and it's still used today. It's used as a so-called treatment for autism in the US, in the UK, Australia, and New Zealand, and in other countries. And that's very disturbing for autistic people. It explains why autistic rights activism and neurodiversity rights activism are so important. And these new labels like positive behavior support and the like, they are, I think, used simply to obscure the connection to conversion therapy. And all this may sound abstract to those who are not familiar with the topic. So what I'd like to do is just to read you a little quote from an interview with Ivar Lovaas from 1974 that captures the essence and the underlying assumptions and motivations of these approaches. So now I'll quote. "You see, you start pretty much from scratch when you work with an autistic child. You have a person in the physical sense. They have hair, a nose, and a mouth. But they are not people in the psychological sense. One way to look at the job of helping autistic kids is to see it as a matter of constructing a person. You have the raw materials, but you have to build the person." So I think this quote is highly disturbing, and this message is important. And I think it's this kind of attitude that actually, you know, people have recognized this in other spheres when it comes to sexual identity and gender identities. And that's why we've now got this bill. And what we are saying is this bill can easily be extended to encompass all forms of conversion therapies. And so conversion therapies in New Zealand, as far as you can look at what our universities are teaching, they are applied to autistic children and seemingly also to other disabled children, apparently, or disabled people. And it's also listed potentially as being useful for patients with dementia. So all these use cases are disturbing from my perspective.
So, yeah, in terms of what you would like to see from Parliament in regards to this submission, it would be to include the conversion therapies that target the autistic community?
Yes. And in our submission, we frame this in as broad terms as possible. So we argue for any kind of neurodivergent children or people. You know, these techniques, it's actually the techniques themselves are highly questionable, and no one should be subjected to them. The main target group at the moment seems to be autistic children, but really the entire set of techniques they're a violation of human rights. No human person whatsoever should ever be subjected to these kinds of treatments. Again, these are very disturbing things that are still going on in this country. And I think rather than perpetuating the harm that has been done now for several decades, maybe it's time to step away from that and realize that this is an opportunity to step into the future and to connect with the current understanding of humans and our capabilities and the wonderful diversity within the human species. I think this is perhaps the most important message, is that autistic ways of being are just part of the wonderful kaleidoscope of human life. And we should not, there's no reason to deny autistic ways of being. And once I think people start to embrace this level of diversity, then we may start questioning some of the things that in our society are currently considered normal, because some of what we call normality are, I think, some of those things are increasingly incompatible with basic human needs. And I think now we have this pandemic and many people are exposed to psychological stresses. So it's maybe a good time to reflect on the human rights of all people, including autistic people.
That was Jorn Betten speaking with Zazi about a submission made this week to the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill on behalf of the autistic community.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.